You know, I believe the Bible also teaches us also that as far as the church is concerned, in the church, and I look at it for the property and everything, where the boundaries are, that each and every bit of it is holy grounds, because God places His feet upon this place each and every time that we come in, or each and every time that we have some kind of function down here, where an individual saved, or even when if somebody happens to pull in off of the highway, I still believe, whether they're saved or lost, I believe the Lord's going to be right here in the midst, because He's going to speak to them, because He's going to speak to them through the church. And we got a whole lot to look forward to.
Amen.
And right now, I've gone too far to turn back now.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I don't want to even think about turning back, because I got more on the other side.
Yes.
I got more friends. I got more loved ones on the other side now than I have here. So that's what I'm longing for. Over in the book of Titus, it tells us we need to look for that appearing. We need to look for Him daily. And I tell you, I just don't know what we'd do without the Lord. And if the people out here in the world, if they would just realize some things also, that if they would just realize that everything that they do the Lord's in the midst of them, because you know they can't get up out of bed in the morning if it wasn't for the Lord. And if you will this evening, for a little while tonight, let's turn to the book of Daniel chapter, I believe it's chapter 2. And I'm going to be probably skipping around here in different verses because of what is here. But we also can see several things here. And we notice that we can go on over to chapter 3 or chapter 4, one of them. And after the three Hebrews, I believe that they witnessed to the Lord. I mean, they witnessed to Nebuchadnezzar through the Lord. And I believe that with all my heart and all my soul, because they denied in what Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do. We can go back and we can look in chapter 1. And we can find it in chapter 2 and even in chapter 3. But it's where it says over in chapter 3, and it's speaking about here that three Hebrews right here, but says chapter 3 in verse 17 and 18, it says, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." We are having so many people today claims to be a Christian, claim to be saved, but where are they at on Wednesday night? Where are they at on Sunday night? They are doing what they want to do on Sunday night and Wednesday night. They don't even give God even a second thought during the week. But look at what God has done. Look at what God has done for them. You know, they are serving an ally here. And could they go and could they go through what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, could they go through what they went through and what Daniel went through? No. Matter of fact, I don't think we've got a man or a lady, either one, that's outside of these doors that you can truthfully call a man or a lady. Because they will not shed the tears. Like I mentioned, I believe it was Sunday. That we need people that will come and weep. Not only for their children and not only for their family members. And not only for the church, but they need to come to the altar and weep over their condition that they have. Because they're in such a rut today. We see that. But we'll see over here in chapter 2 where Daniel's speaking and where Daniel is revealing some secrets here. There's going to come a time and day that secrets is going to be revealed to each and every one of us when we get to heaven. They haven't all been revealed to us today. And I don't believe they will. Because I don't think that we would probably be able to handle what God has for us to do. But yet there are some secrets. And the first secret is here in verse 19 of chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. Says, the secret revealed to Daniel. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and forever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the time and season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and in the light dwelleth with them. We can see where the Lord God, where he reveals his secrets to the Christians. He reveals his secrets to each and every one of us, the ones that we can handle. Because there are so many that we cannot handle today. But so I don't understand why people can't really and truthfully get a grasp of what God is trying to do for them. And not what God is trying to do, but also what God has done for them. And I don't understand the people where the people will not grasp in the Christians today that what we are looking to and we are looking at them, we just want them to live a better life. We don't want them to live in a life that where they're hurting. People all around us are hurting today. And the Lord Jesus, He is going to reveal, He's revealing to them. And I think He's revealing to Daniel right here some things of Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel, he did not back up. He did not back up in what he had professed. He didn't back up in saying that he served a God in heaven. No. He just went on and he just went with it. He told the people, he told Nebuchadnezzar, he told the people, he told all the soldiers, he told the governors, he told all the workers that were building up that golden calf there. That the one that y'all need to put your trust in is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust God for your faith and for your works. And don't worry about the golden calf. Don't worry about what somebody else can do for you. But worry about what God can do for you. And when God does anything for you, then we can look up and we can say, look at what God has done for me this past week. How He's been with me. And how He has spoken to me at times. And yes, there was some time that He spoke to me and I didn't speak back to Him. But that wasn't His fault. It was my fault. Some people today, they go months and months. Some of them will go years without ever talking to the Lord and claim to be a Christian. I don't believe if you claim to be a Christian and you'll say you're saved and washed in the blood, I don't believe that you can go that long without talking to the Lord. I just don't believe it. But they, I mean, it's all of this. What I think it is today, and I'm going to call it like I see it. I think what we see today is more prevalent today, right now, than it has been. But I think it started in the late 80s and come up in the 90s, and in 2000 it was getting a little stronger. But right now I believe that we're seeing more and more of this easy believism. That if you just come to church, if you just show up at church, if you just come in and you give a little portion to the church, if you tithe to the church, and if you come up and you join the church, and if you just come up and shake your preacher's hand, then everything's going to be all right. But it's not going to be all right. It's not going to be all right if you're not saved. If they don't have the blood that has been, where they've been cleansed by. Like as, I think it was Sister Nancy, that song that she sung tonight. What sin are you talking about? That's God. He's saying that. He's saying, see, I'll put it to you this way. The Holy Spirit convicts. When we do something wrong or when we think something wrong or something like that, then the Holy Spirit will convict us of that. And when the Holy Spirit convicts us of that, then that's when we need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess that unto Him. And asked Him to forgive us of that sin. And to cleanse us once again. See, there's a whole lot of people out here, they don't believe in that. They believe in that they're cleansed one time only. Well, then I don't want to be around the people. Because lightning's about ready to strike. Because I just don't believe that there's an individual that can walk around in this day and time that we're living, and in the last 64 years that I've been here on earth,
I don't think there's anybody, even through my time or time before, even any time that Paul and Peter and all of them, I just don't believe that they could go day by day without something coming up in their life and they didn't obey the Lord and they sinned against Him. Because if that was the case, then why would you have that verse in the Bible? In 1:9, John 1, 1 John 1:9. Why would you have it in the Bible? Why would God want to put it there? If it doesn't mean anything, and that's basically what people are saying. They say, well, I don't sin. You don't? Well, I need to get away from you. I don't need to fellowship with you then, because I know you don't want to fellowship with a sinner. And I'm a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. The Bible teaches me that all have sinned. All. A, double A. That means every how many billions of people there are on this earth, every individual, from the child all the way to the oldest individual, has sinned that day. There's not a soul that goes through a day that does not sin. But see, God's going to reveal some secrets to us in heaven. And I believe some things that's going to be revealed to us in heaven. And I think it's going to be through visions. We know that Daniel had visions. We know that Daniel had dreams. He had dreams to look forward to. Because God had allowed the vision to open up and to focus on the dream that he was having. Have you ever been laying there in the bed during the night? And all of a sudden you will get to thinking, and you get to thinking about the Lord and get to thinking about heaven and how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Because no eyes has ever seen heaven, except the ones that's gone on before us. But I've never seen it. I've never seen Jesus Christ. And they said, well, why do you want to serve someone? Why do you want to walk with someone? Why do you want to follow someone? Why do you want to go to church and profess that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, and you've never seen Him? That's what you call faith. That's where faith comes in at. See, we can't put faith in man. Because, see, man's going to let us down. Man's going to let us down. Why? Because of what I was just talking about before that. Because of sin. Because of sin, they'll let us down. But he says he will never let us down. He will never forget about us. We're there on his mind day and night. We can be going down to someone, down to a home or somewhere like that or somewhere and visit somebody. And there may be an obstacle anyway to where we can really get in and maybe share the gospel with somebody. Yesterday, me and Brother Roy Newton, we went down to Hardy's yesterday afternoon, about around 3:30, 4 o'clock. Sitting down there drinking a cup of coffee, and we was down there talking. And it was two young ladies that come in. They were sitting over there next to the other one doing everything. And Brother Roy, he was sharing with me one of his messages that he had taped. And I noticed that them young ladies, they was kind of turning their head and looking over there, and they weren't laughing. They would seem like they were, one of them was listening. So Brother Roy, he got up and went back over to give him some more coffee. And when he got up, it was another individual that was over there had been talking to him. And then they had went and got in another booth. The other lady had got in another booth, separated from where they was at. So I went over there. And I started talking to him. And I asked him, I said, you go to church in a while? They says, no. And I said, you know, love for you to come down to church where we at, where I'm at. One of them asked me, says, well, where's your church at? I says, down right on 58, right before you get to the caution light. It used to be the caution light on top of the hill, right across from Virginia Carolina Homes. On the left going down. I said, you can't miss it. And I said, we'd love to have you out there. Now this is what she said. She asked me, she says, do you have any young people? I said, wait, no, ma'am. I said, we have a couple that will, you know, they come in when it can, because it's something about the just mother and the father, they've been separated, they divorced and everything and all about. But I said, that's all I know. But they come in once every maybe a couple weeks or something like that when it can. And I says, you know, they said, well, how big is the church? And I told them. I said, we don't have that many people. I says, but we need to try to get some people in the church. We need to try to get some young people in church where they can bring their children in. And I says, and I know that, you know, that is a hindrance, because I know that you want something for your children. I says, but if you'll come, whether we just got one or whatever, I said, we'll have somebody to teach them if y'all come during Sunday school. And then the next thing you know, she asked me, she said, what time services start? And I told her, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I told her. And the other lady was sitting right by beside of her. And I asked her, I said, you go to church anywhere? And she says, no, sir. She says, I was raised as a Catholic. I said, well, you can still come. I said, God still loves you. And I didn't want to get into a whole lot then, because they need to get in church. And I knew if I said anything to them about what the Catholics believe and all of that and everything, then they wanted them to scare away. And I didn't want to do that. If anything, I want to get in church. I want her to get in church. If you get her in church to where she can come more than one time, then it's a good possibility she'll get saved. But it's going to have to be between her and the Lord. Only thing I can do is just preach the gospel. Only thing I can do is just live the life around them. That's the only thing that any of us can do is live the life around them. But see, both of them got two boys. It's two boys between both of them. One of them's 11 years old, and I think the other one was 9 years old. And when they come to find out, the first one I was talking to, been a long time since I've seen them. A long time, probably 15, maybe almost 20 years, I reckon. But she knew my brother, the one that passed away 4 or 5 years ago. Because she looked at me, she said, "You look for me. It's just something about your face and everything." So she says, "You got any more brothers?" I said, "Yeah." I said, I had three more. I said, "But, you know, one of them's in heaven and the other two are still here." I says, "What was the name?" I said, "Well, the one that was next to me was about a year and a half younger than I was. His name was Darryl. Then I got another one was next to him was called Dennis. His name is Dennis, and then the youngest one was David." He said, "You talking about Darryl Mahan?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "You said he's in heaven, right? That's what you said?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure did." I says, "He got saved because I led him to the Lord, and I know he got in. Because the whole time that I knew him, the 50-some years that I knew him, that's the first time that I've ever seen him shed a tear. And he was weeping because he wanted to know more about Jesus." And she says, "I'm going to come down now." She says, "Now, I really like coming, you know, the way I worked before, you know, time I could come, go to church was on Wednesday night because I had to work on Sunday." I said, well, "Come on." And she says, "Well, I'm not trying to make no excuse or anything like that." But she says, "I won't be there tomorrow night. Because I've already got something else planned for tomorrow night." I said, "Okay." And I don't know if a young lady is saved or not. But I didn't talk to her about her salvation. But I know some preachers, that would be the first thing that they'd after they said something to them about if they go to church in a while. And they say no. And they will start talking to them. That's okay if, you know, but I'm not like it. I like to just, like Jesus said I think it's in the book of Proverbs, where he's in, I think it's one of the Gospels too also, speaks about where he wants to be our friend. We have got to let the people know that we want to be their friend. And it might take 2-3 years, and it may not take but a month. We don't know how long it'll take for them to really trust us. But if they get to the point that they have confidence in what we say, then
whatever we say, they'll go along with it. We don't need to browbeat people about salvation. We just need to live the life. And this is not just preaching to you. I mean, this is me preaching to my own self. I need to learn about that too. I need to start being a little more confidential in what I say to people. Now, I need to be a little more careful in the way I approach people. But the thing about Daniel had so many different things in here that Daniel went through. And the Lord allowed Daniel to go through them. And I believe the reason that the Lord allowed Daniel and wanted Daniel to go through them, so when Daniel got to the point that he was going to have to make choice, then God didn't have to worry about if he's going to make a right choice or the wrong choice. And I would love for God to have that much confidence in me in knowing that if I made a choice, that he wouldn't have to worry about it. That the choice that I would make, he would be pleased with it. That's the reason I can talk to him every day. Let everyone stand and bow your head and close your eyes. As Bill comes, go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Father and our Lord, we thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. And Father, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy word. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for Daniel. And Father, and the scripture there and the secret and the visions and the dreams that Daniel had, Lord. And I believe that, Lord, that you knew Daniel, that if Daniel went about doing something, that Daniel would not even have to second guess himself. He would just pray for your strength and your ability and your will to do what he feels like that you want him to do. And Father, we need to be people like that also. Father, I know that I'm saved. I've been washed in the blood. I've been called to preach. I know that. I don't doubt that one bit. And sometimes I wonder why you even much less even save me, but then just call me to preach. I don't understand it, Lord. But I do know one thing, that I have to give you all the glory and all the honor for it. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will continue to be with us, Lord Jesus, as not just me, but Father, as a group of people that is saved, and Father, that really would love for this church and your fellowship around you, Lord, would start growing. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you are still putting us through some test, and you'll reveal the secrets to us one day. But Father, I do know this. Lord Jesus, if it's still, it's enough. It's not but just what is here. Father, I can honestly say this. That there are people here today that love you. And love the house of God. And love to worship you in spirit and in truth. And yes, Father, they would love to see the church start growing a little bit. Father, one by one. And Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that new people will come in. Not just people from other churches just come in and want to come in and join us. Because, Father, that's not right. They need to go to their own pastor and talk to them about before they do anything, Lord. And get things right with them. Because, Father, like so many preachers says, if you can win someone in and to where they will start coming to your church with a hot dog, then somebody else could come up behind you and serve them a hamburger, and they would follow them. Father, we don't need people like that. We need people that will want to come into the house of God and worship you in spirit and in truth. But Father, that's in your time frame. And we're looking for a great day tomorrow, another great day in Friday, and another great day in Saturday. And we're looking for and we're expecting a greater day Sunday. That, Father, that people will come out Sunday. And Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit will press upon the heart now. You know who they are. And Father, we do thank you. And Father, we do love you with all our being and all our soul. Father, we're not people here or just coming here and just spending time together. But we're here in fellowship in one with another. In seeking thy will, Father. And I know, Lord Jesus, that you did not press it upon Brother Poovy's heart to start this work years ago. And Father, now we are celebrating the 50th year. I believe we'll be coming up towards the maybe in August or November, somewhere like that. But Father, we're going to have Jubilee in June, the second week in June. And oh Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll just bring the people out. Father, because when the people comes out, we're not here to get people to come into our church. But where people will come in and gather around and hear something from heaven. The Father, where we can all work together. Father, we thank you once again in what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.